Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the FI Talk podcast. This is just a quick introduction to this episode. This episode is part one of a three-part series where we give ideas of how to cross your financial goals and how to what things that you should be looking into doing if you want to win financially this year or next year or whenever. So this is part one of three-part series. When we decided to record this episode, we decided to do part one is mainly for the beginners, the people that are starting their financial journey, the people that are new to personal finance. So these are ideas for the beginners, or if you're just new to personal finance, or if you're just getting out of debt or trying to get your financial foundation in order. And then we would do part two and part three for intermediate and for advanced. So that's why we divided this into a three-part series. And this is part one of ideas to get yourself set up for financial success. With that, welcome to the FI Talk podcast. I am your host, AJ. Today, we have an interesting topic to talk about a little bit here. I know the last podcast episode we published was how to set up your smart financial goals for the year. And this episode is kind of a piggyback on that episode. A lot of people are like, yeah, now you told me how to set these goals, but what kind of goals am I looking at? So here this week, we will talk about that in how to set yourself up for financial success in 2022. But before we get into the topic, I would like to introduce the man. He's back, Mr. Pa, back from Africa. Welcome back.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm happy to be back doing this again with you.
Oh, yeah. How was your trip, man?
Trip was awesome, man. Went with the whole family. We spent about 3 weeks over there. It was kind of a little tiring going and coming because of the nature of the journey, mm-hmm. And how, you know, the distance and the number of flights you have to take in order to get there. But once we got there, it was awesome just seeing family, friends, you know, and just doing everything that we did over there. I mean, we did have a really, really, really good time. And I mean, it is home, you know, so. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to describe home. You know, home is just home. So we did have a good time over there. And I was happy with the sunshine that we had over there compared to what you guys had to deal with over here. I heard you guys got some snow.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
yeah. Did you guys get to enjoy the beach or do something?
Oh, yeah. Special? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Some of the highlights of the whole trip were, I mean, just having a high school reunion with my former schoolmates. We were celebrating 20 years since we graduated high school. So just being able to see those guys and hang out with them. We had like a boat trip where we were able to hang out, and the following week we had the reunion dinner. So that was awesome. And accompanying my wife after 20 years of not being home, and just seeing those reactions, you know, when she walked into her house, seeing her dad for the first time, you know, in 20 years, and going to her grandma's house, you know, those were just special moments, you know. So it was great. There were a lot of things that we did that you know, I don't think we'll have the time to kind of sit down and, you know, talk about all of those here, but it was great. It was great. We did everything that we wanted to do.
Oh, man, so, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy for you and your family, man. Just like this summer when we went to Africa, the same thing, just seeing the reaction from my wife after 17 years of not being back home. It was just amazing seeing some of their family and all that stuff. But since this is a money podcast, how did setting yourself for financial success, you know, come into this big trip?
Well, I wouldn't have been able to, or we wouldn't have been able to afford it if we didn't, you know, get our finances in order.
Okay.
As you know, we paid everything in cash. We didn't borrow any money or anything like that. So I think those all came from, you know, what we talk about here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that financial discipline that we have, some of the little things that we do, you know, saving, you know, and investing, trying to eliminate debt and all of these things. So all of these, all of those things played a huge part into it. And like I, one of my goals was to come back with money, you know, because I did this the first time that I went over there. Because I do hear the stories of people going over there and spending everything that they had that they have to, you know, kind of, you know, call their spouse over here, you know, can you send me some more money? So I did it the last time, you know, where I came back with change. So this time around too, you know, we set that same goal, me and my wife, you know, that as soon as we got over there, we took some money out and be like, we are not going to touch this no matter what. So we actually did that. And, we came back home with close to, I think it was about $600 or so that we did not touch that. We just wanted to be like, okay, we are disciplined enough not to touch this money. So we actually came back with it. And I was really proud of that.
Yeah, we came back with some money too. But the only reason we did that was there were old $100 bills.
Yes. That's and another issue over
that's
there.
That's another issue. I didn't know that. You go there and they accept the brand new $100 bills, but they don't accept, they don't really accept the old $100 bills.
That is true.
Or if they do accept it, they'll really bring the value down.
Yes.
You know? So we were like, nah, we're going to take our old $100 bills back. So,
exactly.
Man, sorry to put you on the spot, but I felt like that was a really, really good segue into what we are going to talk about today, which is how to set yourself up for financial success for 2022. These things that we are talking about here, that we do talk about here regularly, has, you know, set you up for financial success so that you are able to do the things that you love and enjoy with your family.
Yeah, definitely.
Going into that.
And also, you know, I mean, I will have to give you kudos for the episode that you recorded, you know, all by yourself. I think this is the first time that you've ever done that. Am I right?
Absolutely. There was one that I recorded before by myself, but I didn't like it. So
but I think this one that you did, I mean, that one was great. Yeah. I mean, just how you broke down everything, especially the SMART thing, you know, the S stands for something, the M, you know, and all of that. So I think that was a very, very good episode. And anybody, you know, who's listening to this, just like you said, you know, this... Like this episode that we are recording right now, it's like kind of following that one that you did, you know, so I think it would be a good idea for them to listen to that one too, so that this one will make a little bit more sense to them.
So, yeah, if you want to listen to that episode, that would be episode 19 of the FI Talk podcast. But should we get started on this one?
I'm ready, man. I missed this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like the way I thought about this, if anybody asks us, what kind of financial goals should I set for myself for this year? I thought about it for a while and think that it should be broken down into different levels, because not everybody on this journey is at the same starting point. Some people are in debt. Some people are not. Some people have their financial discipline. Some don't. So I wanted to divide this episode into different groups, whichever groups that fits you. These are the things that we would kind of like advise you to work on for this year. So the groups are for the beginners, the people that are actually beginning their financial journey. And then group number two would be the intermediate. And for number three would be the advanced people. So for beginners, what we would like to talk about to set up yourself for financial success for this year, number one, Pa, is to at least get educated. Read 1 to 2 financial books this year. I know this was my start for getting into my financial journey when I found the Ramit Sethi's financial book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And that just opened my mind. But if you were to advise somebody to get started on this, where would you start? What would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I mean, you have to educate yourself first. I mean, no matter what you do, no matter how much amount of, you know, podcasts that we are doing here that you are listening to, I mean, that's all good, but you have to find other ways to include yourself. And I would say probably the number one thing is, you know, starting, you know, I think the best way of educating yourself is through reading, you know, because you can capture a lot, you know, when you read. So maybe reading probably one or two financial books every year, if you can do that, if you can do more than that, you know, that's even better. But I think just reading at least, you know, one or two financial books a year, I think that's a pretty good start. Most people probably do not have the time to read because of their job schedules, you know, kids and all of that kind of stuff. If you are in that kind of situation, I mean, there are audiobooks. You know, for the most part, that's what I listen to. I mean, most of the financial knowledge that I have today is from audiobooks and podcasts. So I think just educating yourself, I think that is the first step that anybody needs to take in order to be knowledgeable in whatever you want to do.
I remember when I was in the process, or when we were thinking about buying a house, and I started asking my friends, well, how is the process of buying a house? What does it look like? What kind of mortgage? What is this? You know, I'm asking people who has bought houses, and nobody could answer my question. So I bought two books about how to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And guess what? After I read both books, I found out, oh, maybe I'm not ready to buy a house yet. So then, this is what I need to work on to be ready to buy. And I was pretty, you know, you got all this experience that people have put together in a book and basically just serve it to you in like a restaurant, like in a platter, you know. And this is just reading books is just amazing to just get educated about whatever it is. But if I want to advise, give an example of a financial book to read, it depends on where you are with your journey. For me, it started with Ramit Sethi's book. But right now, if you're in debt, I feel like my first recommendation would be The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, which actually is amazing when it comes to paying off your debt and getting your financial foundation in order.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that book, you know, has been very, very instrumental, you know, in my journey and in your journey, you know, and most people who are out of debt today. I mean, I think it's one of the best-selling personal finance books of all time. You know, that book is still selling, you know, and whatever is said over there is still relevant, you know, to this day. So if you are getting ready to get on this journey and, you know, you are in debt, I think the book that AJ just mentioned, which is The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, I think it's the best book that, you know, anybody can read in order to be out of debt. For me, I mean, It started with Robert Kiyosaki's, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, and what that book did for me was that it opened my eyes to the other side of life, you know, because like how to call it, we all used to have this, you know, kind of, you know, thoughts in our head about, you know, how these people become millionaires, you know, they probably, you know, stole the money or they probably inherited the money, you know, but nobody taught us that you can actually build wealth from scratch. Mm-hmm. You know, you can actually save your way or invest your way, you know, into how to call it, building wealth and that kind of thing. So that was a book that kind of opened my eyes to that. And from there, like the beautiful thing about books is that, just like you said, it's these people who are way smarter than you. Mm-hmm. They've acquired this knowledge all these years, and they took the time, sat down and wrote these books and sell it to you for $10-$15. You know, and you are there absorbing everything that these people learned for the past 30 years. You are just reading that in a space of, you know, 4 or 5 hours or so, And you get to have all this knowledge that these people have, you know, kind of gathered for the last years or so. So I think that is the beautiful thing about reading books. And the other thing is that, you know, once you start reading one book, I mean, it will recommend another book for you. You know, that was the thing that I was very grateful for, you know, when I started reading personal finance books, because once you read a book, you know, I get the recommendation to go and get another book. So I was just getting books upon books, and most of these books are very, very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you go to Amazon and buy a used book. I was just buying these used books for like, you know, $2, $3 or so.
Right.
And I mean, that kind of helped me a lot. So,
yeah. And just speaking about building wealth, there are a couple of books that I actually re-listen to every year. One of them is The Millionaire Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And I am actually re-listening to this book in my car right now. And it was just, they were just talking about who their target research was. They were researching people who built wealth between $1 to $10 million. Okay, who has a net worth of $1 to $10 million. And the reason for that is, this is reputable. This is doable in one generation.
Mm-hmm.
This is doable in one lifetime, that somebody could start from nothing and build between $1 to $10 million in one lifetime. And that's just how to build wealth that we didn't know about except when you start reading this book. The other one is The Richest Man in Babylon. This book is just fun for me. It's just something. So it has so many life lessons in this book. And it's a small book.
Yep.
This is a really small book. And it's like a story. You know, he tells you stories about people from like ancient Babylon and how they overcame and the ideas and all this stuff. And it's just so much fun for me to read. So easy to read, so small and so cheap that everybody should be, you know, just doing that. So other than reading books, I think we should still stay on this educating yourself. And that brings number 2 point for beginners would be to listen to financial podcasts and financial YouTube channels. And this is key for me. I learned so much from podcasts like Choose FI, podcasts like The Stacking Benjamin, the Paula Pant Afford Anything podcast. So many podcasts that I really learned a lot from when it comes to my journey in the financial, when it comes to my financial journey. But also there's a lot of YouTube channels that I know you are a big fan of. The Money Guy? The Money Guy mm-hmm. Show. So mm-hmm. there's endless. There's a lot of things that you could learn from just listening to podcasts like ours. Obviously, we will tell you to listen to our podcast, but mm-hmm. at the same mm-hmm. time, there's so many other podcasts that talk about what we talk about or even go dive deeper than we do because their audience are different or maybe a little bit more advanced than, mm-hmm. You know. And then there's so many YouTube channels that you can be a beginner when it comes to finances, all the way to advanced, you know, stuff, topics on YouTube that you can also listen to.
Yeah, I think it's just like you said. I mean, the audiences are different. Like every podcast that you listen to, they have a different content. I remember earlier on when I started, I used to listen to this African-American couple called the His and Harmony Show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and most of the things that they were, or even most of the guests that they had were African-Americans. You know, they're talking about their journey into building wealth, getting out of debt. So I was like, okay, well, this is not just a white, a white people thing. So blacks are also building wealth.
So you can relate.
So I can relate to these people, you know, and most of them, I mean, they were in debt, like a lot of money, you know, yeah. and they were able to get out of it and started building wealth. So I was like, I can do this too, you know, and if you listen to, like I'd call it The Money Guy Show. I mean, that one is different. You know, you kind of listen to the Rick Edelman show. Rick Edelman talks mostly about investments, you know, and all of these kind of things. So the audience is a little different. And there's this other girl that I used to like a lot. Her name was Fanush Torabi. She used to do this Soul Money podcast. And that was nice too. You know, so there are so many of them out there. And of course, the Dave Ramsey podcast also. I mean, that is, he's like the grandfather of all of them, you know. Yeah. So there's just so many of them out there, and there's some new ones coming up, you know, all the time now, you know. So the content is there, the information is there, you know, you just have to see what you can relate to, or which ones you can relate to the most, and just try to learn as much as you can.
Get educated in order to step up your financial game for the year and even for life. You know, I always have this line that says you can finish school, you can finish your schooling, but you can never finish education. And education is like a lifetime thing. You just learn every day until you're gone. Whether it is books, whether it is podcasts, whether it is YouTube channel, there's so many ways to learn right now. And it has never been easier than it is right now.
Yeah, definitely. And a thing like personal finance, I mean, that is not something that they teach you in college. You know, I don't care whether you have a PhD, you know, or not. Personal finance is not something that they routinely teach in college. So most of us, what we know is something that we learn outside of the school. And I think that is the best form of education. Self-education is the best form of education.
Yeah.
You know, so just wanted to throw that out there.
So I guess like this schooling that we got through kind of set us up to be able to self-educate ourselves for the future and for life. But yeah, let's move on to number three. Step number three when it comes to stepping up your game for financial success this year is to track your spending. Now, I am a huge, huge believer in budgeting. I've been budgeting for many years. I know everybody, doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. And one of the things about budgeting is I track everything I spend. Now, just to be clear, I'm not perfect. For example, Pa, when I came back from Africa last summer, my budget was way out of whack.
Yes.
And I took a couple of months off from budgeting, but I got back on it. And that's totally normal. You can skip, you know, when you're not doing it, but just try to track it. And when you're budgeting and you're tracking all your spending, it gives you so much information about where your money is going. And that information is so important. It's kind of builds on your financial journey on like, how much do I need to live off of every year? I think we talked about this in one of our episodes. I think it was What's Your Fine Number? Episode number 5 of the FI Talk podcast. We talked about your financial independence number. But in order to know that number, you have to track it, your expenses, or have at least a ballpark of how much you spend on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. And that's how you calculate your fine number. So start tracking what you spend your money on. And if you do miss a couple of expenses, or if you do miss a couple of weeks or a couple of months, that's totally fine. Just get back on track tracking your expenses, because it builds on your financial journey. Like when we talked about in that episode, Pa, we talked about how much you would need to retire to live off of. And by knowing how much you spend every month, and we did the calculation because you know how much you spend every month.
I think during the beginning of what you were just saying, you mentioned something that's very, very important, that, you know, your budgeting was out of whack. You know, I think this is something that is good for the audience to know, that we are not perfect. I mean, everything doesn't go as planned 100% of the time. Sometimes we do deviate, you know, sometimes life happens and all of these things. It's okay to like kind of take a break for a month or two or 6 months or so, you know, and just kind of, you know, take care of whatever needs to be taken care of and then get back on track. You know, we are not on track 100% of the time, you know. So I think that was very important that you did say that. At least I believe that some people will be able to relate to that, because life does happen. You know, it does happen to everybody, you know, but I think this point right here, you know, tracking your expenses, the way I see it is like, you know, somebody driving at night with their headlights off. You know, if your headlights are off, obviously you're going to hit something, you know, And if you are making an income and you are not tracking where that income is going, I mean, obviously you're going to get in trouble. You know, you'll probably live within your, live above your means because you're spending more than what you are making, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that, tracking your expense thing, I think this should be the number one thing that anybody who's serious about their finances should have in place. Make sure you have all these guardrails in place to make sure that you don't go crazy. Know exactly, because for the most part, just like I said, most people know how much they make. That is not the problem. The problem is they don't know how much they spend. Mm-hmm. So this will help you keep track of how much you are spending, because you already know how much you make it. How much you're spending, that's where the problem is. So finding ways to track it, just like you say, for the most part, you are a lot into, you know, spreadsheets. You know, I've seen your spreadsheets. They're amazing, you know. But whatever works for you to be able to track your spending, I think everybody needs to find whatever works for them in order to be able to track their spending. Because I think if that one is out of control, I mean, all hell breaks loose, you know.
Yeah, you've seen my spreadsheets of what they look like now. And you've also seen my spreadsheets of what they look like before that.
Before, yep, I have.
And they're not the same.
No, they're not.
There's a lot of work in progress as I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, before I even started using spreadsheet, I was just using pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
Just a yellow pad. Just write it down. I think that's the easiest way to do it, is just write it down. Another way to do it is also look at your bank statement. Go back to your bank statements, pull out your, go to your online banking, you know, either print it out or save it on your computer and look at what you have spent on your bank statement right there. And one thing I also want to add, knowing that I am not 100% perfect, is that when you start tracking your expenses, you don't always get it right. You know, you don't always get it right. It takes a lot of practice. It takes 1 month. The first month is going to be really weird. The first 3 months is going to be weird. And then once you get to month number six, number seven, just keep at it. It's going to get a lot better. You would know how to foresee your expenses. Okay. Like, there's certain things that I only spend money on once a year. You know, there's certain things that I only spend money on twice a year, you know, and I could kind of foresee when those things are about to happen, and I can put those in my budget and just keep at it. You know, the first 3 months are going to be more like try and error. And after that, you're going to get better. So don't give up. Keep doing it, and start with a pen and paper. Start with looking at your bank statement. And then if you want to do spreadsheets, that's fine too. But there are also so many apps that could track your expenses for you if you're into that type of technology.
It's a work in progress, and the most important thing is just that you start. You know, not starting, that's a problem. Starting, you know, that's the most important thing. And once you start, I mean, things will just get easier, you know, as you keep going. So number four, AJ, for this point that we're talking about here for the beginners, is saving 1 month of expenses. Can you elaborate a little bit more on why somebody needs to save at least 1 month of expenses?
Yeah, this is probably the beginning of your favorite topic, which is the emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
1 month of expenses is not a big emergency fund, but we were always, there's experts that want you to save $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, whatever that means to you. When I look at it, if I'm going to advise somebody who's beginning right now, I would say have at least 1 month of expenses saved up first. What this does is it saves you from going into debt when something happens. You know, it's not huge. You know, the rest of your money, we have other plans for it, for what you need to do with it. But it would save you from going into debt when something happens. It would save you if you lose your job for a month, or if you get followed, like, you know, those kind of things. You would have a little bit of peace of mind that you have at least some money in the bank that you can use to for a month worth of expenses to live off of if something were to happen, and you know, you wouldn't have to go into debt.
And just to be clear, you know, I mean, this 1 month of expenses, this is not vacation money. This is not money for you to go shopping or any of that stuff. This is just money that, and it's not even emergency fund, you know, like right away. It is something that you can use for, you know, anything that can happen in the short term, you know, but this is just money just to give you a little bit of breathing room whilst you are, you know, moving on to the other things like paying off debt, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So it gives you that peace of mind, you know, knowing that if anything is to happen, like right now, at least I have a little bit left, you know, it's just like they say, like what about 60% of Americans, you know, have less than $400 in their account or something like that, you know, but if you are able to save 1 month of expenses, you are distancing yourself from that now. You know, now you are at another level now that if anything is to happen, you don't have to go to the payday loan guys, you know, you don't have to use that credit card, you know, you are pretty much okay to take care of all the small minor emergencies that come up and you can take care of it. But just like I said, don't go too overboard with this and think that, you know, now I have this $5,000 saved. I've never saved $5,000 in my life. Now I can go and take that fancy vacation that I always wanted. That's not what this money is for.
And the reason why we go with 1 month instead of telling you to save $1,000 or $5,000 is that everybody's expenses are different. You know, once you start tracking it, you know that your expenses, my expenses and past expenses are not the same. What one month of expenses is for me is different from somebody else. So you want to get that cushion for you for a month. And the second thing is that it takes you out of the living paycheck to paycheck mindset, mm-hmm. because you just threw some statistics that 60% of Americans cannot afford a $400 emergency, but also 70% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So having this cushion takes you from that living from paycheck to paycheck mindset to actually start building something. Have a little peace of mind because you have this money in the bank. And the reason we don't have a set figure is because everybody's lifestyle and everybody's expenses are different.
Yeah, just like they say, you know, personal finance, it's more personal than finance. So everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the last point on this topic here is paying off debt. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I'm sure you will elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, for beginners, yes, this would be where you start to pay off your debt. And we did talk about this in episode number 3 of the FI Talk podcast, how to pay off debt and what to consider as good debt and bad debt. And if you go back and listen to that, that was episode 3. And Pa and I had some differences about good debt, bad debt. There was one particular topic that I remember that we didn't totally agree on. But anyway, just start paying off your debt.
And this was the student loans.
This was student loans, yes. Yes.
I am still against student loans, man. Just, you know, just to be clear, I am not a big fan of student loans.
Well, if you want to hear, you can go back to episode 3 and listen to me and Pat talk about that. But once you have that 1 month of expenses in your savings account, hopefully you put it in a high yield online savings account where it's not easy to access, then you start paying off your debt. Then you have a plan for where your money is going to go. So we talked about a little bit. We can probably just go over the different types of debt payoff. We have the debt snowball and the debt avalanche. I'll talk about the debt avalanche real quick, which is mathematically the best way to do it, but not emotionally. But mathematically, you want to pay off the debt that has the highest interest rate, first. So if you have 10 different types of debt and one of them is 2% and the other one's 28%, you mathematically, that's the one that you want to start paying off first. The highest, you list your debt from the highest interest rate to the lowest interest rate, and then start paying the highest interest rate first. This is not the way I did mine, but this is one option. The debt avalanche is the paying off your debt with the highest interest rate first.
And the other one is the debt snowball, just like AJ said. I mean, mathematically, if you want to look at it, the avalanche does make more sense. But he did say that in terms of emotions, you know, if you just emotionally want to get rid of this debt, I think the debt snowball that Dave Ramsey teaches, most people have used it. And what this is you are paying off the debt with the lowest interest rate. It's just, like, it is like totally opposite the debt avalanche.
Lowest balance.
Yeah, the one with the lowest balance. Sorry. So let's say you have three debts. You have a student loan that is $30,000. You have a credit card loan that is $15,000. And you have a personal loan that's $5,000. So you start with the smallest. And what that does, it kind of gives you that confidence, you know, that, oh, since I was able to get rid of this small one, so whatever I was paying for that small one, I can add it to what I have now and start paying the other one that comes next, which will be the credit card. So once you pay off the credit card, now you have this big boost now. Now, you know, now you are on a roll, you know, okay, let me go and attack the big one now, you know. So that's how you kind of do the debt snowball. And it has worked for a lot of people, you know.
It has worked for me because that's the way I paid off.
Exactly.
Was the debt snowball. I talked about the debt avalanche being the mathematical way that makes more sense. But the debt snowball made more sense for me emotionally and for me to get these boost of energy once I pay off a small loan and say, man, if I can do this one, then I can move on to the next one. And that's how I did that.
Yeah. So just for the folks out there to know, it's not always about the math. It's not always about the numbers. Sometimes, I mean, you just got to go with your gut and just do whatever makes you feel comfortable. You know, just like I said, I mean, this is more personal, you know, it is more personal than the finance part of it. You know, the finance part of it is very, very important. You know, math, you cannot argue with numbers, you know, but there are some instances where you will just have to go with, you know, whatever, you know, feels better for you, you know. But paying off debt is something that you have to do. And these two methods, you know, whichever one you use pays off the debt no matter what.
All right. That's the end of the part one of our conversation about how to set yourself up for financial success this year. Tune in next time to listen to part two when we talk about the intermediate ideas of how to set yourself up for financial success. And thank you for listening to the FI Talk Podcast. Until next time, this is the FI Talk Podcast.